Welcome to the Steady Hand Podcast. I'm Scott Ronalds, joined as usual with Tom Bradley. In today's session, we're going to discuss the first quarter of 2009. Now, Tom, I'm going to turn it over to you right away to get started.
Scott, as you said in the report, this is the eighth time we've reported back to our clients, and I got to say it's been very much a one-way street, down, down, and more down. And this quarter was no different. The equity markets were generally down, and our funds were also there. But I think it was a little bit different. This quarter had a little different tone in the sense that there are stocks and sectors that have stopped going down, even though the news is still very, very bad. And I'm hoping, and I do believe this is happening, where we are sort of bouncing along the bottom of a valley, as I've used that analogy for a number of months now, and setting ourselves up for turns to go up the other side. But I think we've all got to keep in mind that that valley floor will be characterized by ugly headlines, terrible news, disappointing earnings. We'll have continued volatility through that piece. We may make or lose a little money through it, but certainly whatever happens, it'll try our patience. But we do think we have to be thinking about the other side of the valley as we bounce along the bottom, and that's certainly going to be a theme we're going to talk about today.
Tom, we don't normally talk about the savings fund, but we do have a note on that fund this quarter. You can read the legal language behind this in the report, but we have temporarily reduced the fee on the fund from 0.65% to 0.3%. And we've done that in response to the extremely low interest rates that the Bank of Canada has now set. The short-term overnight lending rate is at 0.5%, so any money market fund is going to be challenged to maintain a positive yield for investors. So we just want to help our clients out by reducing the fee on that fund. I'll leave it at that, Tom, and pass it over to you now to discuss the income fund.
The income fund was up modestly in the first quarter, 0.5% to be exact. But over the first 2 years of its existence, it's down 3.6% per annum. And that reflects the structure of the fund primarily. It owns not only government bonds, but also corporate bonds, which has been a tough place to be, and some income-oriented equities. And as much as they are more conservative types of companies, they've gone down along with the rest of the market. So that negative return for this conservative fund is reflective of that structure. Having said that, the tone of the bond market, particularly the corporate bond market, was pretty good in the first quarter. The spread, or the difference between their yields and government yields, is still extremely wide and offers a great opportunity to investors, but that did narrow in a little bit and provide some positive returns for corporate bonds. Now, at the quarter end, corporate bonds accounted for 42% of this fund. But I should say that that's a little bit deceptive because for most of the period we've been running around 50%, and subsequent to quarter end, that number was raised again. But just temporarily at quarter end, it was a little bit low. Of the 42%, 30% is in financial service companies. And we've talked about in these podcasts before, there's a heavy emphasis to the Canadian banks, the high-quality Canadian banks. But we've added to that a little bit in the form of some more insurance company bonds where Connor Clark and Lund see some really good opportunities. On the equity side, the fund now has about 27% of its assets in these income-oriented equities. And as we talked about last quarter, we've been making a shift out of income trusts into dividend-paying stocks. And that's been substantially completed. Of the 27%, 16% of the fund is now in dividend-paying stocks. And this is in names like TELUS, which was a new addition this quarter, which yields 5.5%, and TransCanada Pipeline, 5.1%, TD Bank, 5.6%, and National Bank is a large holding as well at 6.2%. I guess if I had to summarize on this fund, Scott, it would be that CC&L shares our view that safety is very expensive, and that risk has been reduced significantly in price, and that it makes sense to be taking more risk even in a conservative fund like that. So as much as our longer-term holders in this fund have had some negative returns, we do think over the long term we're setting ourselves up not only for some positive returns, but continued steady income flow, which this fund has absolutely provided.
Thanks, Tom. We'll move on to the equity funds now, starting as usual with the Steady Hand Equity Fund. Well, it was another extremely volatile quarter. The market sunk to new lows in early March, only to rebound strongly later in the month. The TSX ended the quarter down 2%, but was down closer to 20% just a few weeks back. And the S&P 500 index in the U.S. was down 9%, and the world index dropped 10%. As a reminder for our listeners, the equity fund holds roughly 60% of its assets in Canadian stocks, with about 30% in U.S. and 10% overseas. The fund was down just under 4% in the quarter, 3.7% to be exact, primarily due to weakness in the overseas holdings, and in particular HSBC and Diageo. Now, over the past 2 years, going back to the fund's inception, it's down 15% per year, and that's compared to a little over 16%, which the TSX has dropped, and the S&P 500 is down 20% over that same time period. And that's in Canadian dollars. It's actually a little worse in U.S. dollars for the U.S. index. Now, in a positive sign, many of the Canadian stocks in the fund bounced back in the quarter. Home Capital Group and TMX both had good quarters, and we discussed them in a little more detail in the report. And Research in Motion also had a strong advance, particularly after quarter end when they reported good numbers. The oils also recovered some lost ground in the quarter after being beaten up late in 2008. We don't have a lot of changes to report to the portfolio. CGOV is doing a lot of work behind the scenes, but they didn't remove or add any stocks to the fund. They're still holding some defensive names like CVS, Shoppers Drug Mart, and Tim Hortons, but they have slowly been adding to more growth-oriented stocks like Cisco and, as we mentioned, Research in Motion. And you've heard it before, but we'll emphasize again that CGOV has a real focus on cash flows and balance sheets. They like businesses that generate a lot of cash and don't have a ton of debt weighing them down, and they're happy to ride out the downturn with companies like these that aren't at risk of going away anytime soon.
Scott, it was another tough quarter in the global markets, as you've pointed out, and that resulted in our global equity fund being down 11.1% to start the year. That contributed to the two-year number being minus 23.8% per annum. A very, very tough start, obviously, for clients that are in the global equity fund. And that is basically in line with the global index. A slight lags it just slightly, both on a quarter and for the two-year number. And that isn't our objective at all. We'd like to outperform the index and certainly our competitors, where so far we're just a slightly above-average fund. But I guess if I had to characterize why that's the case, it's the financials. Edinburgh Partners, our manager of this fund, has made a lot of good decisions over the last 2 years, but has really had most of them washed away with some missteps in the financial sector, obviously owning just too much in that sector, but also owning some of the more toxic holdings. So as we go forward, we'll see how they come out the other side, but certainly that has been a factor. Edinburgh has been the most active of our managers, and they've continued to make that move that we've talked about now for a couple of quarters from what we call defense to offense. And as, to give you some flavor for that, the defensive sectors in the portfolio, particularly healthcare and telecom, made up 40% of the portfolio in September. That came down to 33% in December. And at the end of March was down to 25% of the portfolio. And those funds that are coming out of those stocks are flowing into growth-oriented companies. And I think it's noteworthy in a couple of areas. First of all, technology now accounts for 29% of the fund, and that has been a good sector in recent months, I should say. But the other thing that's different than it was 6 to 9 months ago is that we now have 15% of the fund in the Asian countries, and I'm excluding Japan from that. So Chinese stocks like Baidu, China Mobile, SK Telecom, as well as the Korean giant Samsung, are major holdings now in the fund and certainly give it that growth orientation as we go forward. I mentioned the financials earlier. I should say that it is still about 15% of the portfolio, but we did some tidying up this quarter. Edinburgh decided to consolidate two of their troubled banks, Citi and Bank of America, into the latter, so we no longer own Citi and are now strictly in Bank of America. And they sold Ish Bank, a Turkish bank, and reinstated a position in HSBC, you know, one of the world's most high-quality banks, but one they had sold a few months ago when it had performed so well.
We'll move over to the small cap market now, which was one of the few areas that did actually advance in the quarter. The BMO small cap index eked out a gain in the quarter, rising a pretty modest 1.3%, thanks to strength in gold stocks and resources. The Steady Hand small cap fund, which has modest exposure to energy stocks and doesn't hold any gold, lagged the index in the quarter, dropping a little over 6%. Over the past year, the fund is down a little over 31% versus 43% for the small cap index. And going back 2 years to the fund's inception, the small cap fund is down 12.9% per annum versus 27.8% for the index, so outpacing it by almost 15% a year. Now, similar to the equity fund, there are a few changes to the small cap fund in the first quarter of 2009. As can often happen, there were some big swings in some of the individual holdings. We saw this with Vesima Networks once again, one of the fund's larger positions, and it did have a rough quarter, as did Stantec. Again, the manager isn't concerned about the underlying businesses here. It was just a matter of illiquidity or the stocks being out of favor again. On the flip side, there was some positives to report. Hanfeng Evergreen, which is the specialty Chinese fertilizer, advanced, had a strong gain in the quarter, as did Hibbett Sports, which is a southern-based U.S. sporting goods retailer. It bounced back. It's actually up a little over 60% since November, so some strong returns from that stock lately. On the surface, the manager, Witherich & Company, looks to be fairly quiet with the lack of activity in the fund, but they're perfectly happy with what they currently own and are narrowing in on adding a new stock or two to the portfolio in the coming quarters. As a reflection of this, they are currently sitting on a fairly high cash position of roughly 14%.
In the context of what you've just heard, we're encouraging our clients to move their portfolios to owning a little bit more of the corporate bonds and equities. We've used the phrase baby steps as a way of encouraging people to rebalance. We don't know when the bottom's come, whether it's already been here or it's ahead of us, but we do know that the reward-risk balance is in our favor, and that's a reflection of the valuations on securities today, which are very reasonable, the bearish sentiment out there, and I'm speaking of the mood of investors, which it's always a good time to invest when everybody is running for the hills, and the tremendous buying power that's sitting on the sidelines. We've had government stimulus, obviously, but there's a lot of individual and corporate money that's sitting on the sidelines waiting to be invested. So, as I said, we're not trying to pick the bottom, but we don't think people should be at the low end of their equity range if they have a set asset mix. Indeed, they should probably be above average on their equities today, and so that is very much where we're coming from. So, Scott, I think we'll wrap up there. Thanks for listening, and we encourage you to listen to future Steady Hand podcasts.